for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I had unusual exchanges with two dear colleagues yesterday when we were recording a show called Truth Versus News out of a station in Seattle. Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PSYOP officer, and David Kenny, who's a California lawyer, and I were discussing who else? Donald Trump. And they were expressing all these reservations about Trump, Scott especially, really vehemently, about how Trump could have done better here, could have been done better there, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was really an onslaught. And it led to my, we had exchanged partly on and partly off the air, why I think they're wrong, why I think they're missing the boat about Trump, why I believe Trump has made a connection with the American people unlike any I've ever witnessed in my life other than JFK. And many of you in this very audience, some who call often, think I'm naive about Trump. Well, you got to understand, I don't think the guy's a flawless saint. I don't think he's perfect. I think he's made a connection with the American people that is profound. As I mentioned to Scott and David Kinney, and if you go to my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, you can watch the exchange, a part of our exchange that was recorded and preserved in the program that we had more off the air. When I watch that footage in Pennsylvania, we had tens of thousands of Americans on the hills there. While Trump's helicopter was coming down, it was one of the most awe-inspiring moments I've ever witnessed in my entire life. And when I talk about Trump, I'm not talking about whether he's a paragon of perfection. I'm talking about, does he connect with the American people? Do the American people believe in him? And I'm telling you, the American people believe in Donald J. Trump. And in spite of all of his failings, his shortcomings, I believe in Donald Trump. And I know you think that's naive. I'm talking about as a real vibrant political force in the United States. Are there others who might be less flawed? Unquestionably. Are there others some might prefer over Trump? Of course. There's a lot of enthusiasm for DeSantis. I think DeSantis is a super good guy. But he doesn't have, at least not yet, and frankly, I think never, because he doesn't have the charisma of Donald Trump, this connection with the people. There's something about the totality of the persona that makes Trump a massive political force in America, unlike any I've ever witnessed, even JFK. People had affection. But I'm telling you, many Americans would die for Donald Trump. And while some might say in retrospect they would have been glad to take a bullet for Jack, having lived through both, I tell you, it's not the same. The connection between the American people and Donald Trump is more profound than that between the American people and Jack Kennedy. And you may find that astonishing. I'm telling you, I've lived through it. I have no doubt about it. Now, we just happen to have dueling Trump-Pence rallies in Arizona, which drew different crowds. Very interesting. Now, I've recommended the Epoch Times again and again. I just put this up on my blog. You can find it there, jamesfetzer.org, by Alan Stein. Listen to this. One rally looked more like a catered banquet event on steroids. The other like a rock concert with a hoopla of a religious revival meeting. I think he's got it right. But that's, of course, Pence, whose defects are simply overwhelming. Why anyone would have any enthusiasm for Mike Pence is beyond me. One thing was for sure. Former President Donald Trump and his former Vice President Mike Pence were the stars at dueling rallies in the final days before the Arizona primary on August 2nd. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order, and I'm here because Arizona and America need Karen Taylor Robson as the next governor of Arizona, Pence said at an event for Robson held at the Tire Tactical Body Armor Manufacturer in Peoria, Arizona, on July 22nd. Hundreds of Robson supporters and Arizona Republican notables sat at round tables covered in black linen, dining on pork and beef tacos before the rally got underway under bright media lights. There is no question that Karen Robinson is a proven conservative ready to lead our state on day one, said Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, who leaves office at the end of two terms in January. For that reason, he has endorsed Robson for governor, he said. There's only one candidate in this race ready to lead Arizona on day one, even to greater new heights, and that's Karen Taylor Robson. She will defend all the God-given liberties enshrined in the Constitution of the United States of America and the great state of Arizona. She's going to do all of the things and apply the principles your governor has done, and she's going to do just like we did with Arizona support for all 4 years of the Trump-Pence administration, Pence said, to rounds of applause. Well, he's getting rounds of applause at this banquet on steroids, no doubt about it. But compare now. Save America rally. About 50 miles north, more than 4,000 Trump supporters filled bleachers at the Finley Toyota Center for Save America rally featuring America's 45th president in Prescott Valley. For Donald Adams of East Mesa, it was his third Trump rally in a single fiscal year. Trump was the greatest president this country has ever had, Adams told the Epoch Times. As far as I'm concerned, he's still the president. That current resident in the White House, that's a joke. A nonpartisan, Adams said he voted for Barack Obama in 2008 before he switched to voting Republican in 2012. As, of course, as you know, did I. Nate Miss of Sunrise, of Surprise, Arizona, said he came to the rally to support my president. I'm here to support many of my local candidates who will make America great again. I'm here because these folks want to keep the border closed. I want to protect education and protect our Second Amendment. They check all boxes. That's why I'm here, Miss told the Epoch Times. Regarding the smaller rally in Peoria, Miss said, I'm not surprised they would draw such a crowd after the state in which Ducey left our state. Ducey's leadership has gotten us two United States senators who are Democrats, a Democrat Secretary of State, a Democrat leader of education, and a Democrat mayor in every major city. Great leadership, Ducey. And this is Arizona, remember, traditionally a Republican state. Barry Goldwater was from Arizona. I haven't forgotten how he shut down our state during COVID. Anything Ducey endorses, I'm going the other way. Sean Calloway, a surprise, said he supports Trump in his 2022 endorsements in Arizona. Kerry Lake, U.S. Senate candidate Blake Masters, Arizona Secretary of State candidate Mark Finchem, and Arizona Attorney General candidate Abe Hamadi. Donald's awesome, Calloway said, hoping he would announce his candidacy for presidency of the 2024 election. I hope so. We're fighting to make some changes, not as much as I'd like, but we're making some headway. I like Kerry Lake. I'm going to vote for Jim LeMond. I think he's more general. I like Mark Finchem. Calloway said he expects an enormous turnout in the Arizona primary and thinks it will be one of the biggest in state history. Let me add, once you announce for president, there are a whole lot of laws that snap into place. There are things you can do and things you can't do. I believe Trump is well advised to stay out of the way in relation to the November midterm elections. The Democrats are doing a great job of self-immolation. There's no reason for him to declare now. He's making it clear he's going to run. There's no doubt about it. And he's talking about possibly running with DeSantis, about which I shall have more to say. But there are good reasons, in my opinion, not to declare now. Gina LeSater of Prescott Valley said she supports Trump because I think he loves our country. I think he loves the Constitution. I think he's all about we the people. I think he's like a father to America, she told the Epoch Times. And it was clear that was how the people in Butler, Pennsylvania, felt on that awesome occasion, which just struck me so profoundly. Bruce Lachlan of Phoenix, formerly of Chicago, considers Trump our best president ever. Concerning Trump's endorsements, I think he's rock solid in every way, Lachlan told the Epoch Times. Before taking the podium on stage, Finchem said he had a good feeling during the Republican primary election run-up. We've got 11 days to go, and we can't take our foot off the gas. We're polling at 5 points ahead of our closest competitor, Robson. We got two in single digit, he said, noting the Trump endorsement has seen America First Republicans with a 30-point advantage. I'm feeling good about it. What disturbs me is we have expended a lot of money in our primary, and now because of this, we're going to have to start from scratch with a general election, Finchem said. When it was her turn to speak, Lake said to thundering applause, this is a lot of mega in one room. Wait a minute, are we mega or are we ultra mega? Saying it was the stupidest thing when Democrats liken parents to domestic terrorists, Lake said it drove even more voters into the ranks of the American First GOP in Arizona. They came after us moms. It drove us straight to the mega movement where they care about parents and kids, Lake said. We've got the city moms. We've got the rural moms. Because when mama goes mega and it's game over for the swamp rats. Lake saved her ire for Arizona's establishment Republicans during the 2020 election. They sat there and did nothing as our elections were stolen from us. They did nothing when our border was overrun. We will not forget them. They didn't stand up for us. You will not be forgotten, and you will not be forgiven, she said. Trump takes the stage. At about 9:10, Trump took the stage to a standing ovation and words of hope for America First Republicans in the 2022 midterms. We're going to elect an amazing slate of American First Republicans up and down the ballot. And we're going to end up crazy. U.S. Speaker Pelosi's tenure once and for all, he told the audience. He blamed the Biden administration for the current border crisis, skyrocketing gas prices, a faltering economy, and the restrictive legislation contained in the Green New Deal. I don't want people to mention the word depression, but where we're going now could be a very bad place. Recession is a nice word. We're going to have a much worse problem than recession. We're going to have a depression. Our country is like a different place. It's so sad to see. But first, we have to win an historic victory for the Republican Party this November. When we retake Congress, our highest priorities must be to end the nightmare Joe Biden has created on our southern border. And your governor, Doug Ducey, has done absolutely nothing to help. Talk about rhinos. He's all talk and no action. And you'll see what can happen when Carrie Lake becomes your governor. It will be like day and night. Well, David Kinney, during our exchange on Sunday, was talking about Carrie Lake, that she's sensational. And I have no doubt everything I've heard about Carrie Lake is she is sensational. But she's an unknown. I mean, really, I think it's unrealistic to think that she could be a candidate to run with Trump as vice president. I don't see that as realistic. I have offered several suggestions, such as Tulsi Gabbard. I even think Ron Johnson would be terrific. I'm so proud of him and to be my senator from Wisconsin. But it may very well be Ron DeSantis. Stand by for more. Meanwhile, the Democrats are destroying themselves. Get this. Illinois High School implements equity-based grading practice, specifically seeks to raise grade point averages of blacks and lower scores of higher-achieving whites, Asians, and Hispanics. This is stunning. This is an article published on Ounce. Why not just automatically give all blacks A's? White privilege? Systemic inequalities? Implicit bias? Explain this. Oak Park and River Forest High School administrators will require teachers next school year to adjust their classroom grading scales to account for the skin color or ethnicity of its students. Have you ever heard of anything more un-American and more discriminatory? School board members discussed a plan called Transformative Education, Professional Development, and Grading at a meeting on May 26. In an effort to equalize test scores among racial groups, this group, OPRF, Oak Park and River Forest, will order its teachers to exclude from the grading assessment variables, it says, disproportionately hurt the grades of black students. They can no longer dock for missing class, misbehaving in school, or failing to turn in their assignments. In other words, they can't be docked for not doing homework. Traditional grading practices perpetuate inequalities and intensify the opportunity gap. It calls for what their leaders describe as competency-based grading, eliminating zeros from their grade book, encouraging and rewarding growth over time. Teachers are being instructed how to measure student growth while keeping the school leaders' political ideology in mind. Teachers and administrators will continue the process necessary to make grading improvements that reflect our core beliefs, the plan states, promising to consistently integrate equitable assessment and grading practices into all academic and elective courses by fall of 2023. According to the Illinois State Board of Education, 38% of these sophomore students at these schools taking the SAT, failed. The failure rate was 77% for black students, 49% for Hispanics, 27% for Asian, and 25% for whites. So they want to change things. advocates for so-called equity-based grading practices, which seek to raise the grade point averages of black students and lower scores of higher-achieving Asians, whites, and Hispanics, say new grading criteria are necessary to further school district mission of diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. My God, I thought it was to educate our students, not to give benefits to underachievers who aren't even doing their homework or don't even show up for class. I mean, how absurd is this? Margaret Sullivan, Associate Director at Education Advisory Board, calls grading based on traditional classroom testing and homework outdated practices that foster unconscious biases. Yes, they foster biases in favor of learning, education, knowledge, performance. Teachers may unintentionally let non-academic factors like student behavior or whether a student showed up to a virtual class interfere with their final evaluation. Traditional student grades include non-academic criteria that do not reflect student learning gains, including participation in on-time homework submission. My God! Why even bother sending anyone to school? Why don't we just abolish public education? What the hell? This is just insulting beyond what you thought that was bad. Get this. Michigan City decriminalizes public urination, defecation, and littering for equity. For equity. The city of Kalamazoo, Michigan has now decriminalized public urination, defecation, and littering to be more equitable. Small business owners in the area had voiced their opposition to the effort, but their concerns were ignored. So now if you want to go to a shop, you may find someone's defecated right there on the sidewalk. Or maybe while you're there, they'll urinate right in front of you. Nice. Really nice. Thanks, Kalamazoo. This is real progress. On Monday, July 18th, the city commission unanimously voted to reduce the offense from a misdemeanor to a civil infraction. Becky Bill, co-owner of Pop City Popcorn in downtown Kalamazoo, is among the business owners who's been taking a stand. She said there have already been aggressive and unstable panhandlers in the area. People have to clean up where they've defecated right in front of your door of your business. We can't have that downtown. Sherry Emery, owner of Sherry's Chocolate, echoed Bill's concerns, telling news outlets they don't understand why it would be proposed that the law would be less restrictive than it is now. I don't understand why we would make it easier for them. Kalamazoo Mayor David Anderson said that decriminalizing these offenses will help the city be more equitable. It'll also be more disgusting and unsanitary and unwholesome and drive people away. My God. City Commissioner Chris Pradel said pretty much the same thing, that it is fair and equitable to who should be whom these laws were most affecting, the unhoused population, as well as provide a better solution for those trying to get on their feet, to let them defecate on the public streets, to urinate in public. Yeah, that's great. That's going to help them get on their feet. I definitely empathize with the downtown business owners, too. They've invested a lot to be downtown, and a lot of those spots are mom-and-pop shops where that's their life income. We want to be respectful of that. We hear them. We are listening to them. We care a lot, but we care about everyone in the community. If you see a person who may be defecating, someone in their same mind would not be doing that, said Stephanie Hoffman. She said the community needs to have more empathy for people crapping in front of their stores. There is an issue. There is a trauma. There's a crisis going on. So let's turn Kalamazoo into a living, breathing sewer. And mind you, this is what the Democrats want to do for the entirety of the United States. They want to destroy public education. They want public urination, public defecation. Look at San Francisco. They have more feces per square mile than any other city in the world. And Nancy Pelosi, that's her district. She's proud of it. Proud of it. And now we're going to abolish educational standards? Why not? We're turning out nobody who's qualified to do anything. That's a great way to advance the United States. That's going to keep us number one. That's going to keep our economy flowing. I mean, it boggles the mind. Good God. The stupidity, the lack of common sense. These are morons who are running these schools and running these communities, and it goes right up to the White House. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, who are stooges of George Soros, whose objective is to destroy America, and I got to say, by this yardstick, he's doing a hell of a good job of it. A hell of a job of it. Destroying America. You see it on every sign. We got to restore the republic. We got to get control of our future. This is grotesque beyond words. Grotesque beyond words. I'm shocked. I wish I could tell you this isn't the level of stupidity to which this country has sunk, but there it is. Defecating, urinating in public, and forgetting about grading standards. Let's just give them all A's. I think that simplifies. They don't even have to go to school. Why bother with attendance? Just give them all A's. Oh, I mean, that's the Democrat way. That's equity. That's justice. Ah, this is what has become of the United States of America. A living, breathing sewer. Sewer. A living, breathing sewer. A brainless uneducated in the name of equity and justice. Unreal.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, you might find it pretty interesting to check out Truth versus News on my BitChute channel, because you'll hear Scott Bennett reviewing a whole litany of charges against Trump. I mean, quite an extensive, very detailed list. Now, Scott actually went back when the election was being stolen. I mean, in the days the theft was taking place, and participated with others, some names you'd know well, to try to get things straightened out. He participated in drafting a memorandum that Trump could have signed but didn't sign, that sort of thing. So you might say he has a list of grievances against Donald Trump. Now, I want you to understand, Scott's a dear friend and ally of mine. I've probably done more shows with Scott Bennett than perhaps any other. Well, maybe a couple of exceptions. I've done a lot with Giuseppe in terms of, need to know and so forth. That's relatively recent. Scott Bennett and I probably, I'm going to guess, 50 different shows. We go back years and years. We were doing Las Vegas together for Project Camelot. We go way back. And I hold Scott in high esteem. But I believe there's a fundamental issue here that everyone has to appreciate. Donald Trump is flawed. But Donald Trump is a massive force for good. Remember, he gave us a vibrant economy. The lowest wage earners were seeing their wages rise at the highest rate, in part because he clamped down on the border. He got the wall very far along. He made us energy independent. I can't recall in my lifetime how many occasions there might have been when America could be declared to have been energy independent. He made it energy independent. And the first thing this POS does when he comes into office is to cancel the XL pipeline and permits for drilling on federal land. So he goes off to Saudi Arabia to beg for gas and oil. I mean, give me a break. This is humiliating. This is insulting. This is awful beyond belief. And this is what the Democrats have done for us. This is what the Democrats have deliberately done for us. This is what the Democrats have deliberately done for us. They are trashing America in every possible way. I remember in 2019, we had a Rasmussen poll showing that 40% of black likely voters are going to vote for Trump. It was then apparent there was going to be an overwhelming electoral victory for Donald Trump in 2020. Well, the Democrats were reading the same polls I was reading. They knew what was coming. They used Mark Zuckerberg, what, $400 million to pay to stuff these drop boxes? It was $10 a ballot. So if he shelled out $400 million, that's 40,000 fake ballots. And the Democrats in the newspapers every single day talk about the false allegations of voter theft as though no one's ever seen 2,000 mules, as though we don't have any idea what happened in the 2000 election, as though Mike Lindell had never done a three-day marathon of one proof after another of the theft of the election. I mean, what has become of America when we're getting nothing but lies, 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 big lies, little lies, huge lies? The Democrat Party has disgraced itself irredeemably. And we know January 6th is just an extension. It's just more of the same. It was a setup. It was planned well in advance. Trump authorized 20,000 National Guard's troops on the 4th, but it required the mayor of Washington requesting them, which she declined. Why? Because they had a different plan in mind. They had a different agenda. And National Guard troops would have only thwarted their actual plan. On the 5th, the Capitol Police received intelligence reports that there were groups of Antifa and Black Lives Matter that are going to infiltrate and create chaos. They did nothing to stop it because they were complicit in the crime. For God's sake, we have them opening the doors of the Capitol to let all these protesters in. The Capitol Police did that. The doors of the Capitol are massive. They have magnetic locks. They're impossible to open from the outside. Impossible. They were open from the inside because that's what Nancy Pelosi wanted. That's what Mayor Bowser wanted. That's what Chuck Schumer wanted. It turns out now, in case you miss a memo, that this guy Ray Epps, who is one of many feds in the crowd who are inciting, telling him where to go, what to do. Ray Epps is married to a woman who's connected with Dominion voting machines. Surprise? And of course, it was Dominion that was used to steal the election in terms of the actual tabulation of the vote. So we had the Zuck Bucks on the one hand and all the stuffing of these drop boxes at 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., for which we have video. I mean, how can anyone in their right mind deny that this election was stolen when we have such massive proof? Ask yourself, what is a degree of corruption that when you have massive evidence and video of millions of ballots being stuffed into these drop boxes, that you would persist that it was a clean and fair election, and anyone who denies it is off their nut? I mean, the degree of corruption represented by today's Democrat Party is almost beyond imagination. It has disqualified itself. It doesn't represent the people. It represents a very special interest intent upon destroying the United States of America. It is the party of George Soros. It is the party of the Rothschild banking industry. I mean, I'm telling you, these people are out to destroy America. And look at what's going on with education and defecation right there in the package. That tells you what the Democrats want for America. That is their agenda. You vote for a Democrat today, you are really showing you have just didn't get the memo. You just didn't understand. The evidence is simply overwhelming. Overwhelming. And I persist in saying, if you want to straighten this out, there's one and only one political figure who can get the job done. And I don't give a damn how controversial he may be. I don't give a damn if you'd like him to have fewer flaws. I don't give a damn if you think he could have done better. I don't give a damn. If we could get back to what he brought us for 4 years, we would be overwhelmingly better off than we are today. Overwhelmingly. Now, I do think almost any Republican could beat the Democrats if we have anything resembling a fair election. But who's the guy who inspires the American people? Who's the guy who'll make sure the turnout is overwhelming, so massive? Who's the guy who's going to ensure that in all these states they don't get away with cheating and stealing again? There's only one guy who can do that, and his name is not Ron DeSantis. Get this. According to a new straw poll conducted by the conservative student activist group Turning Point USA, Donald Trump easily defeats Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as their choice for 2024 Republican nomination for president. The poll was held at a summit for the group in the Sunshine State on Sunday. While certainly an unscientific reading, the straw poll does indicate the youth movement of staunch conservatives is sticking with the former president as their preferred nominee. Trump managed to grab a significant portion of the response, with 78.7% saying they'd vote for him if he launched another campaign. DeSantis received 19%. No other candidate received more than 1% of the vote. No other more than 1%. So roughly, you got 80% for Trump, 20% for DeSantis. No one else is even remotely close. Trump dominates 2024 GOP presidential nomination. The Turning Point straw poll may come as a bit of a surprise, considering other surveys have indicated that DeSantis has been closing the gap with Trump. A Yahoo News YouGov poll from less than a month ago so DeSantis only 9 points behind in a hypothetical matchup where Trump had been dominating similar polls for months prior. Continuing a trend, however, a Detroit News poll of likely Republican primary voters showed the two GOP favorites statistically tied. New polling from Michigan shows Republican voters increasingly willing to look at a conservative alternative to Donald Trump, even as they still view the 45th president favorably. It also seems notable that the summit was held in Florida, meaning Trump dominates DeSantis on his own turf. Trump spoke at the conference and hit it, as he often does, at a 2024 run. But as he also often does, he continued to incorrectly assert that he won the election of 2020. My God, this is from Political Insider, and even they are denying that he won the election, which he continues to claim was illegitimate because it was illegitimate. It was illegitimate. It was the greatest theft out of an election, and maybe certainly in American history, one of the great ones in world history. I ran twice. I won twice. did much better the second time than it did the first, getting millions and millions more votes than we did in 2016. Likewise, getting more votes than any sitting president in the history of our country by far, Trump said, and now we may just have to do it again. The crowd absolutely erupted. DeSantis has consistently indicated he's more interested in running for a second term as governor. He's often viewed as a more professional version of Trump, just as strong in fighting the left and media cohorts, but in a more subtle, cutting manner. And he sometimes earns the respect of typically left-leaning voters. Tesla CEO Elon Musk, for example, said he's leaning DeSantis in 2024. After having voted Democrat his entire life. In response, the Florida governor quipped he always appreciates the support from African Americans. Trump believed that if he runs, he would easily defeat DeSantis, but he's also left the door open regarding a ticket that would include DeSantis as his vice presidential nominee. Well, I get along with him, Trump said of the possibility of a Trump-DeSantis 2024 ticket. I was very responsible for his success because I endorsed him and he went up like a rocket. The Turning Point USA straw poll also indicates President Biden is not the most concerning candidate from the Democrat side, earning only 4.4% as the toughest opponent. Former California Governor Gavin Newsom was viewed as the most difficult to defeat at 30%, while former First Lady Michelle Obama came in second with 13.6. 30% for Newsom, Michelle 13.6. But will her support endure when Americans understand that Michelle Obama is a man? I'm telling you, I've done the research. I'm not alone in this. It's well known. Even Joan Rivers revealed it way back when. Michelle Obama was born Michael LaVon Robinson. Michelle Obama played football as Michael LaVon Robinson at Oregon State before he adopted a female persona and transferred to Princeton now as Michelle Robinson. There are plenty of photographs of them together before she got her breast implants. You can see she's a perfectly normal, flat-chested male, short hair, with a young, looks like Bill Gates to me. But it's very obvious. Michelle Obama is a package most women do not have. It was very apparent when she danced on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Very apparent. There are plenty of photographs where it's easy to discern. We got her coming out of a building, and she's even scratching her nuts. We got photographs of her after her husband's no longer president, and she's letting her beard grow, letting her beard grow. A physician who was assigned to look after her during a campaign walked into her in a trailer in Trenton, taking a leak, standing up. You may notice that's not something women do. And he said, they paid him millions to keep his mouth shut, but he is so disturbed by what they've done to the country, he can no longer keep his mouth shut. Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, he said. Other diligent researchers have tracked down the parents since, of course, contrary to a popular belief among Democrats, men cannot have children, and found their actual parents, where the older girl looks exactly like her father, the younger just like her mother. If you've been paying attention to the revelations coming from Hunter's laptop, there's a huge amount of salacious, sordid material, including a video of two nubile young black girls cavorting with Hunter on his bed, and there with him is a little white dog, which Barack Obama gave to his daughters years ago. And of course, they would have gotten to know Hunter when his father was vice president and Barack, nominally their father, was president. So Are the American people going to be equally infatuated with Michelle Obama when she's outed? Are American people going to want to vote for a tranny that they've been lying to the public? I hate liars, phonies, and fakes. But Brock, by the way, of course, has a long history as a gay guy. He had a tour de force with Rahm Emanuel in Chicago, well-known in the bathhouses there. Then when he went to the White House, he brought Rahm along as his chief of staff. I mean, this stuff is all staggering. There's even a little musical ditty that I am playing on some of the shows. I'm going to have to put it up separately on my BitChute channel so you can see. I mean, it has a certain charm about it. Well, let me see. Maybe I can even pull it up here. Let me see. I'll certainly find it. I'll find it and share it. I mean, it's just a wonderful little ditty about Michelle Obama. They cannot keep this a secret. They cannot get through an election for the president of the United States and it not come out that Michelle Obama is a man. Now, I'm all for different strokes for different folks. If you want to vote for a man who has breast implants and a huge shaving bill, who has a broader back than Mike Tyson, I got these photographs of comparison. She's a big girl. That's your choice. I don't care who you vote for, if it's, but it should be based on informed consent. You should know the truth about the candidate. And the fact is, Obama and Michelle are perverts. And I'll tell you how bad it gets. When I finally took a look at Pizzagate, and, you know, I put it up because it's so disgusting. Among the WikiLeaks revelations is one that Barack Obama spent $65,000 in taxpayer money flying pizza and hot dogs in from Chicago for a private party at the White House. Now, if you're savvy about the operation of the White House, you know, that doesn't sound right. The White House will not take food from outside sources. And if we're talking about real pizza and real hot dogs, by the time they got from Chicago to the White House, they'd be inedible. I mean, what would be the point? Well, it turns out in pedo language, pizza is slang for little girls, hot dogs for little boys. So Barack Obama shelled out $65,000 of taxpayer money that came from you and me to fly little boys and little girls in from Chicago to the White House for a private party. You think about that. You contemplate that. You let that go right to the pit of your stomach. And if you still want to support Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and still think they're great people, well, be my guest. And if you want to see the documentation, you can find it. I lay out all this and Hillary's macabre involvement here. Hillary and Huma Abedin in torturing and murdering young girls. This is a fact. I don't talk theory. I deal in facts. I do not make assertions I cannot prove. If you want the documentation on this, go to jamesfetzer.org. Check out jimtheconspiracyguy.com, the 65 shows. And if you'll scroll down, you'll find Pizzagate, the American franchise of Pedogate. And let me say, there's absolutely brilliant work done by Joaquin Hagopian, who's become the leading expert on pedophilia in the United States, a series of 5 books you can find available at Amazon. Joaquin frequently publishes on my blog. I have been the first to publish a whole series of his essays. And even acknowledges in his books that it was I who induced him, who motivated him to publish these as books, his research as a collection of books, for which I'm very, very glad. I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm not telling you not to vote for Michelle Obama. I'm not telling you not to vote for Gavin Newsom. I'm not telling you not to vote for the whole Democratic ticket. I'm telling you what you're going to get if you vote for the Democrats is is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, you're going to get defecation in the streets, public urination. You're going to get a total deterioration of public education. You're going to get America in an even greater mess than it is already. Mark my words. Now, if that's what you want, then by God, vote that way. Vote Democrat. Vote straight Democrat ticket, for God's sake. There was a time when I did that myself. Wow. I just want you to know what the hell you're doing when you do it. I want you to understand the decadence of America under the Obamas. And frankly, I'm convinced they are behind all this sexualization in the elementary schools, where the school boards are finding ways to go behind their parents' back to teach little kids that they have a choice of whether they're a boy or a girl, and a whole lot of other nonsense. Where Gary King has induced me to participate with him in a new series called Inconvenient Truths. And in the third segment of our Inconvenient Truth, which is just being posted on my BitChute channel, we talk about, he's got a short video. We don't even go through the whole of it. It is as disgusting as it gets about the sexualization of little kids in our public schools. Don't miss it. Inconvenient Truths. We're going to be doing a whole series here. This is episode number one. And I tell you, I say again, vote for whoever you want. Just know who you're voting for. Know what they represent. Know what you're going to get. I'm all for honesty in voting. Free voting, free choice. Just know what the hell you're doing. I'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet.
not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Waiting for Jim to come on back, so join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, where you can get the straight truth and the raw deal.
We do have a report, by the way, that Trump and DeSantis have made a secret agreement to share the ticket in 2024. This would not surprise me. DeSantis, this is coming from Robert Barnes, pretty sophisticated guy. DeSantis is also insurance, Barnes explained. The only reason Trump hasn't announced the ticket is while DeSantis is out there, he's also indictment insurance for Trump because Democrats are scared the Florida governor would defeat their candidate. He noted Democrats are worried if they take out Trump, they'll still have to deal with DeSantis. I agree with that, but DeSantis is not the force in American politics, represented by Donald Trump. Now, here's a development that I think actually is an encouraging sign. The present head of the Rothschild banking empire, Nathan, I believe, Rothschild, declared, if we lose Ukraine, then there cannot be a new world order. Why Ukraine should be so central is not completely obvious, though we do know that there's been a huge amount of talk of making Ukraine the new Israel, that there's a fear that the present state is going to be annihilated or be untenable, and they want to have the new Khazarian Empire in Ukraine because most of the present occupants of Israel are, in fact, not descendants of the tribe of Judah. They're not actually Semites. They're descendants of the Khazarians who came from the region now presently occupied or known as Ukraine. Which means, as among its ironic aspects, that since the Palestinians actually are Semites, but the Israelis are not, Israel is the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world. But the fact is that if you have the head of the Rothschild saying we cannot succeed and have the new world order, the great reset, if Ukraine falls, you ought to recognize that makes Vladimir Putin the hero of humanity because he's doing the right thing in Ukraine. He's mopping the floor with them, these neo-Nazis. Indeed, many of them aren't even neo. These are bona fide Nazis. The World Economic Forum is a horrible, horrific, absolutely worst possible development in recent world history. And Henry Kissinger had a whole lot to do with it. Henry Kissinger. I mean, I think Kissinger will go down in history as one of the truly execrable human beings to ever walk on the face of planet Earth, responsible for millions, tens of millions of deaths. He's going to be exceeded in the books by Tony the Rat, of course, who's going to be responsible for hundreds of millions, even billions of deaths. And did I tell you how Fauci and Birx have now admitted, Birx has admitted that she and Fauci just made it up about all this lockdown stuff and social distancing, that they just made it up? I mean, it's just incredible what goes on here in the world. I'll find the story here. This is stunning stuff. Here it is. Dr. Birx admits she and Fauci made up the science on lockdowns and social distancing. This is from Zero Hedge, a highly reliable source. President Trump's former COVID advisor, Dr. Deborah Birx, has made several stunning admissions of late. First telling the Daily Mail COVID-19 came out of the box ready to infect when it hit Wuhan in 2019, and that it may have been created by Chinese scientists who are working on a coronavirus vaccine. Remember how we've been told over and over and over again it was a natural development. It wasn't produced in a lab. Here she is, acknowledging it was produced in a lab. She gave an interview with Jesse Waters. Birx admitted to making things up, adding she and Fauci were lying to the president and the American people about their COVID protocols with a first lie. 15 days to stop the spread, Birx writes. No sooner had we convinced the Trump administration to implement our version of the two-week shutdown than I was trying to figure out how to extend it. But it goes further. As Jesse lays it out, Birx admitted in her new book that she and Anthony Fauci were essentially shooting from the hip when it came to national directives like 2 weeks to stop the spread and social distancing requirements. To that end, Birx writes, I had settled on 10 feet knowing that even that was too many, but I figured 10 would at least be palatable for most Americans, high enough to allow for most gatherings of immediate family, but not enough for large dinner parties and critically large wedding, birthday parties, and other mass social events. Bear in mind, the whole pandemic was manufactured, and these lockdowns, these rules that Birx and Fauci just pulled out of their ass, were extremely destructive. So 15 days to slow the spread was just a sneaky way to get their hooks into us so they could lock us down for longer, Waters opines. And if you dared to leave your house, Birx told us, the only way to stay safe was to social distance. It was all bullshit from the beginning. And while we've known that, we have had confirmation coming from one of the key players herself admitting it was all bullshit. Here's Peter McCullough, scarf lady, committed scientific fraud and misled the president and the nation into unnecessary lockdowns and restrictions based on the false presumption that the virus spread among healthy people, asymptomatic. That was disproved by a whole series of studies. And by the way, Peter McCullough is the most cited cardiologist in America, no doubt in the world. This guy is an expert's expert. He is good. So not only are they telling us, is she admitting they made it up? But here's a positive development. Fauci, top Biden official, subpoenaed in a lawsuit alleging they colluded with the social media to suppress free speech. I like this. I've been insistent that Amazon was in collusion with the government when it banned six of my books about Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Parkland, Charlottesville, even the moon landing. Amazon banned six of my books. Why would it do that? these were going to be very good selling books. They were going to make Amazon a lot of money because Amazon gets a cut of every book they sell. That's why they're in business. That's what they do. But they've engaged in political censorship without any doubt. The Sandy Hook, the Hook book, was banned less than a month after it gone on sale, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies. Well, if you got a book that's selling 500 copies in less than a month, you got a good deal going there. That's going to be a bestseller. But because it blows apart the whole myth of Sandy Hook, it could not be tolerated. And I have not the least doubt that the government asked Amazon to ban Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. What they didn't anticipate was that I would release it for free as a PDF, which I probably did. And I have a friend who follows these things who says it's been downloaded, the free PDF has been downloaded millions of times. Well, that was too much for them, too. So they made a lawsuit, brought a lawsuit against me for allegedly defaming one of the fake Sandy Hook parents. It's a story you can learn about in great detail if you visit givesendgo.com/fundingfetzer. Because this lawsuit has progressed through multiple stages, not only at the circuit court level, where I was found guilty of this defamation, and where the award against me was $450,000, but where when I tried to expose that the fake parent wasn't actually Leonard Posner, but a different party by the name of Reuben Vabner, and that his son, Noah, wasn't a real person, but was a fiction made up of photographs of his real son, Michael Vabner, when he was a child. The judge hit me with a hammer. And he, although it's not the practice in Wisconsin, he assigned legal bills to be charged against me when there should have been none. I mean, this guy, this phony Leonard Posner, said they were doing it pro bono. They were doing it out of the goodness of their heart because I was supposed to be so offensive and in attacking the credibility of the good parents, the grieving parents of Sandy Hook, $650,000. So you add, and that's $1.1 million. There are a few more, you know, additional dollars thrown in. I mean, the fake Posner had even admitted on his, what was then, I think, his Google Plus page, when he was asked about a lawsuit he brought against Wolfgang Halberg. But you lost that suit, didn't you? And he wrote, he said, well, no, not really, because he took down his blog. Wolfgang had a blog. He took down his blog. He was dragged into court, and he had to pay a lot of legal bills. And this is Posner himself writing about what he was doing to me. So everyone can see what happens, you know, if you challenge the official narrative. I mean, this is very consistent with Lieutenant Paul Vance of the Connecticut State Police declaring that anyone who challenges the official narrative of Sandy Hook is going to be subject to prosecution. Or even Wolfgang. I mean, this guy's a very credible guy. He's a former Florida State Trooper. He's a former U.S. Customs agent. He's a former school principal. He's a nationally recognized school safety expert. Wolfgang just wanted to find out what happened at Sandy Hook so he could advise other school systems what to do to make sure it didn't happen to them. He noticed that his FOIA requests weren't being replied, his phone calls weren't being returned. And before he knew it, there were two homicide detectives from a local precinct on his doorstep in his gated community in Florida telling him they were there on behalf of the Connecticut State Police. And that if he continued to ask questions about Sandy Hook, he'd be prosecuted. Well, Wolfgang had the purest of motives. But this was the wrong thing to say. The guy's tenacious like a bulldog. He's been unrelenting. It's absolutely stunning what's going on. And when I mentioned the Connecticut State Police, let me just say, in the book, chapter 7 and 8, 7, 50 photographs from the alleged Lanza home, and it's very obvious from the photographs alone that this was not anyone's actual home, that it was an empty house that had been furnished to make it look as though people were living there. You had a noticeable dearth of painting, artwork, whatever, decorations on the walls, no doubt because the real estate agent didn't want to have to patch them back up. I mean, look at the hassle that would require. The photograph in the Nancy Lanza bedroom where he's supposed to have shot his mother has some interesting features. There's some red stuff on the bed, but it doesn't look like blood to me, not even fake blood. It looks to me more like raspberry jam. There's a set of papers on the cedar chest at the foot of the bed that you find in other photographs because they apparently were keeping records of how they'd arranged the room. And Kelly Watt, who is her own commercial and home cleaning service, with her keen eye spotted a blue moving pad beneath the leg of the bed. Now, don't you leave moving pads under the legs of your bed? I mean, check your furniture. Don't you see them there? I mean, how bad is that? Chapter 8 had 50 photographs of how they refurbished a school, even of the moving vans coming in. And how they were shaping it up to serve as the stage for this completely fabricated event, where I even discovered the manual for the Sandy Hook event. And everything that happened on the ground corresponded to the manual. You had porta potties set up in advance. You had pizza and bottled water available at the firehouse. You had a sign, everyone must check in. You had many wearing name tags on lanyards. You had parents bringing children to the scene. Think about it. FEMA events provide refreshments and restrooms. FEMA events are governed by personnel with color-coded name tags to identify who they are and what their role is. FEMA events, right in the manual, it says you must check in with a controller upon arrival, so you'll be paid for your participation. The drill, the rehearsal, took place on the 13th. Then it was said right in the manual to be evaluated as a live event the following day. And there were so many anomalies right off the bat. No surge of EMTs into the building. No string of ambulances to rush the little bodies off to hospitals where they could be declared to be dead or alive. No medevac helicopter called. A triage tarps were laid out, but not a single body of a dead or wounded person was ever placed on it. I mean, we just have so much proof. This was totally fabricated. There was no evacuation. According to the official report on Sandy Hook by the Danbury State's attorney, Stephen Sadinsky III, there were 489 students present at Sandy Hook that day. Well, if you subtract 20 of the allegedly deceased and the 469 who have to be evacuated, plus some 70 janitorial cafeteria workers, secretaries, and the like, but it didn't happen. There was no evacuation. The roadway, the one-way in and out Dickinson Drive, was so clogged you couldn't have got a bus in or out of there if you wanted. You would have had a string of how many? 50 buses? 469 plus 70? I mean, give me a break. It's all absurd. And then we have fantastic stories such as told by Gene Rosen, to wit that a bus driver dropped off, depending on the telling, 4 or 5 or 6 kids there. And he brought him in and gave him orange juice, and they played with stuffed animals until they told him that their teacher was dead. Well, Gene Rosen wasn't the parent or custodian of any of these children. The idea that a bus driver would drop them off with someone not the parent or custodian is just absurd. But the American people bought it, gobbled it up, ate it, hook, line, and sinker. Disgusting. Well, I went through all the judicial process here in Wisconsin, and to my astonishment, they just ignored all the evidence I had, set it to one side, because it turns out that in Wisconsin, the process known as summary judgment allows the court to decide whether evidence is reasonable or not. And if the court decides it's unreasonable, it can just set it aside and ignore it. It was even declared to be unreasonable. Two reports from forensic document experts that supported me set aside as unreasonable. And when I appealed to the appellate court, they juxtaposed the official narrative of Sandy Hook, and they said that was reasonable. And what I asserted and said it was unreasonable and went along and affirmed the circuit court. And then the Wisconsin Supreme Court declined to review my petition for review. Well, it's amazing because I finally realized the problem was the whole process, that Wisconsin had an outlier, had a weird process that allowed subjective opinion to decide the outcome of a summary judgment, which was completely wrong. In Texas, the whole case would have been thrown out right off the bat, or it would have been sent to a jury, because in Texas, you have to take for granted all the assertions made by the defendant, which would have been nobody died, FEMA drill, no ambulances, no EMTs, all that. And then you ask the plaintiff who's bringing the lawsuit if they agree with the defendant's position. And only if they agree with the defendant are there no contested or disputed facts that otherwise require a jury for determination. So I would have had a jury trial. I would have been able to present all my evidence in Texas or most other states, but not in Wisconsin. So I now have a petition before the United States Supreme Court that raises this very issue. Is it permissible for a defendant to be denied a jury trial on the grounds of a non-jury trial masquerading as a summary judgment that's inconsistent with the procedures of other states and violates the Seventh Amendment, which guarantees a trial by jury, and the 14th, which declares equal justice under law? So basically, I'm asking the Supreme Court to incorporate the Seventh Amendment within the 14th. And where a retired professor of law who knows my case very well has observed to me how much he likes my petition before the Supreme Court, and observed that the major judicial problem in the United States today is the abuse of summary judgment, which began like around 1957, the year before I graduated from high school, and that this would go a long way to cleaning it up. So there are multiple reasons why I believe the court is going to take my case. It's already at the conference level. If you go through the flow chart for cases to the Supreme Court, my case has already passed all the filters. Jurisdiction already acknowledged, already filed. They've already had preliminary screening. It's now to a conference for discussion where if a minimum of four justices want to hear the case, then they'll move forward with it. And I believe that's going to happen. And among the various benefits is that it's cleaning up a mess in Wisconsin. It doesn't just affect Jim Fetzer. It affects every resident of Wisconsin who's subjected to this grotesque summary judgment procedure and abuse of the law and a violation of the 14th and 7th Amendment that's ongoing. There's a national problem that can be cleaned up using this case to tee it off. And because my case is high profile and controversial, it shows even defendants who are controversial are entitled to a fair trial and due process. I think the court's going to find this irresistible. And they're going to reverse. This is my prediction, and they're going to reverse. Meanwhile, you would not know this because I seldom talk about it. There's been a rear guard action here to try to take advantage that the case has not yet been reversed, to seize property, to seize my book and my blog. And the fact of the matter is to settle this $1.1 million judgment. But the fact is that it's inconsistent with Posner's past behavior. He's taken down all, hundreds of videos related to Sandy Hook. He brought this lawsuit to cease the publication of Sandy Hook. It only has value if it can be marketed. He's obviously not going to market it. And there's a process in the law known as estoppel that he's stopped from doing this if his behavior in trying to now benefit from something he's done in the past is inconsistent with what he's done in the past, and that's the case here. So since he's not going to market the book, how could he? It's defamatory. He brought the case against three sentences in the book, well, the book's 440 pages. So there are 440 pages showing that he's a sham plaintiff because the whole thing was a fraudulent. You think Leonard Posner's going to want to market the book that shows he's a fraud? Or my blog. He came into my blog and introduced reason to take down, individual photographs and individual blogs. And now he wants to take a blog that has the name James Fetzer or two other domain names that say false flag. Leonard Posner's not in the business of promoting James Fetzer or false flags. He's in the business of doing in James Fetzer and doing in false flags. That means, once again, he's estoppel. He can't do it. These properties, over which there's much debate over whether I'm even properly the owner, have no value for him under the law. They have zero value because he cannot market them. That means they cannot be taken to solve a monetary judgment against me. Financial judgments can only be resolved by financial rewards, and this is not among them. When we come back, we'll take your calls and talk about whatever. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And even before I've announced the number, we have our first caller here. Remember, the number is 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Paul, what's on your mind, my friend?
Well, I just sorry about that, clearing my throat there. Just got done with my special MAGA yoga class, feeling all limber here. I'm gonna vote for Trump. What the heck, you know? You convinced me. Why not? I mean, you know, Trump, 2024. Let's do it.
Good, Paul. I'm glad to hear that. An enlightened response. Tell me more. Tell me more.
I don't know what I can say to you that I haven't already said. It's like, it's a matter of, shall we say, two different worlds. I think you have your foot in both worlds, and you're reluctant to remove your foot from the world where you think that elections matter, that voting counts, that politicians matter, and that we're not facing the most monstrous, evil, alien enemy that has control over every single facet of our society. And that Trump and DeSantis cannot and will not do anything about it. And the part that staggers me, to be honest with you, and you know I have tremendous respect for your intellect, is it's like there's an equation on the board, and you're failing to recognize a variable, you know, a variable that's crucial, okay? And it's already been demonstrated to you over and over again, right? I mean, this idea that we're living in a reality that most Americans, forget about the lying media, but that most Americans can perceive. And it's not just that most Americans, and I don't know what most would mean, 50, 60%, I would say the numbers around there. It's not that Americans are morons, and believe me, that's true. Get out of Oregon, Wisconsin, start walking around, and you'll come to the same conclusion I have, that most people are almost too stupid to be walking around. But we'll put that to the side. It's this cognitive dissonance that's been built in over decades of being subjected to the kind of brainwashing and propaganda that the Jews have perfected and really ruining the American mind. Now, I will give you this. Trump, I believe, is authentic. I'm sorry about that. I got a phone navigation going. Trump is authentic, and here's the part of him that's authentic. He's a human being. He has emotions, thoughts, feelings, and he likes what other human beings like. Okay, so he loves recognition. He loves praise. He loves, adulation. That's all the things that he's getting from these rallies. I mean, and I don't blame him. I don't fault him at all. And he may indeed have some aspect of him that has the best interest of the American people at heart, but he won't be allowed to do anything unless he's a strong man and he takes over. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. I'll send you later after the show a video of Ron DeSantis talking about how what a problem anti-Semitism is, you know, as he gone over to Israel a couple of times. You can see photos of him at the Wailing Wall, just like Trump. So that's the variable in the equation. I think you recognize, but you just want to overlook it.
Well, I don't regard either of them as flawless, and God knows the influence that Israel has over our politics is grotesque. I mean, it's enormous and it's grotesque. One might ask, Paul, would you rather vote for Gavin Newsom for president? I mean, he's the odd on candidate, I'd say, for the Democrats to run, or are you just giving up the whole voting Democrat process altogether because it's such a sham? And therefore, you believe that the American system of reform, peaceful reform, has run its course, and the only alternative now is violent revolution. Remember, as JFK observed, those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
Well, you know, I mean, Gavin Newsom, it's like you just plug him into the equation. See, these politicians are interchangeable, and you know, you've covered stories such as Paul Wellstone, right? I mean, when politicians are a problem, then stuff tends to happen to them, right? I mean, Cynthia McKinney is a good person. Well, I mean, what could she do? Like I said, if we could have 20, 30, 40 Cynthia McKinneys, we could have 20, 30, 40, 50 Paul Wellstones. None of that will matter, okay? I mean, they own everything, Jim. You know this. I mean, it's a hard reality to swallow, but yeah, they might as well put the drag queen stripper in for president, to be honest with you. And I really wish they would. You know, that we could just have a wake-up call. I mean, we've been slapped across the face with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, but they're not slapping the most average American hard enough, in my opinion. They need to have, like, a drag queen stripper as president and some kind of other dysfunctional wacko as vice president and just make a farce of it. I mean, look, they've made a farce of 2020. Anybody who is... Who believes there was a real election and Joe Biden was actually elected, they're either just too dumb and stupid to be walking around or they literally pay zero attention. And I believe the majority of people fall into one of those two categories. I think these news organizations and I think you mentioned Politico or something like that is saying that Trump was incorrect and the election was stolen. Look, these people are bought and paid for. They're owned. And it's going to take an extraordinary man. You know, no Ron Paul can do it, right? I mean, Ron Paul dropped out because he was probably threatened. We need a man who doesn't care about being threatened and a man who's willing to take over the military and start arresting people. All right? I mean, if it's going to be done by government, it has to be done from somebody that has command and has respect. Trump has that potential. I really do believe that. He could probably get plenty in the military and plenty in the government behind him. And he could have, arrests, tribunals, trials, whatever. He could take over. But he won't. He's not that kind of a man, and I don't believe him. I'm sorry.
Well, Mitchell comments that you're welcome to vote for Richard Duncan for president and Mitchell Buff himself for vice president. That's the plan anyway. Do you like that? Is that an alternative you find viable, or do you just give up? Are we all supposed to just give up on the Democrat process, recognizing it's been corrupted, just give it up? What is the solution, Paul, or is there no solution?
Well, I mean, I think I've spelled out the solution. Many people also have spelled out the solution. I mean, it's not political or voting. I mean, how could it be when they still own the media and still own the Federal Reserve and still own? I mean, look, it's obvious that there's more than one faction. I'll give you that. So there was obviously many factions that opposed Trump. He was not allowed to win. Okay. So my contention would be if he does win again in 2020, it's got to be part of the agenda, part of the plan, right? What else could it be? If he gets in to be president in 2024 and he's not quickly dispatched, then we know that's their plan because they already stole it from in front of us in broad daylight. I mean, only a moron could really believe that Joe Biden got elected, even if they haven't seen 2,000 mules.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no excuse. I mean, I know people I've said it to, they still haven't watched it. People just don't do what it is you tell them to do. That's a very frustrating thing for me and maybe for you too. I mean, I've sent you many links and you haven't even looked at them. Some of them you have, some of them you haven't. And it's just, this is the way it is. People avail themselves of the information that they want to. And if they don't want to look, they don't want to. I have a big Trump supporter friend. He just doesn't want to see all the stuff I could show him that Trump is compromised. I mean, if he was to throw off his shackles of compromise, toss swamp creatures that he's known and done business with for years, toss them to the wolves or toss them aside and take over. But short of somebody taking over the government and the media, this is only going to get worse. I mean, they're ramping up the vaccines. They're ramping up the variants. They're going to probably bring back some version of lockdowns, you know, or mask mandates. They're not giving up. They're doubling down. So
yeah, I think
so many Americans. Go ahead.
I think I agree with most of what you're saying there, Paul. Mitchell has a comment he'd like to add. Mitchell.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mitch.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, our government is captured by the corporate fascists that, you know, use the two private nonprofit corporations to select candidates that we vote for. So it's really a selection. It's not an election. You know, they've compromised about every department of government that I can think of has been compromised at the corporate level. You know, and the New World Order is just the upper management of all that. Now, Trump, you know, as for his faults and his good points, you know, he wants America to remain America, not necessarily become part of the New World Order. That's why they're still trying to knock Trump out from and discredit him. So, you know, I believe that Trump is going to run and win. The question is, does the dirty work that needs to be done in the government? The real question is DeSantis willing to permanently damage his political future fighting the corporate political scum? And because that will take more than 4 years, whatever happens. And it's not something that a career politician will get involved with because they know that's the end of the career. So, I believe we can make progress. I believe we can end this dystopian tyranny that has grabbed our government. But it won't be easy. And I don't think it'll be bloodless, in all honesty. Go ahead.
Paul, if you want to make a short, I got two other callers here. I want you to stay by, but I can bring them in ever so briefly. Brian, go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
You caught me in the middle of taking a bite.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry about that.
The best explanation I've ever seen on Donald Trump has been there was a dinner that the ambassador to France, to England from France gave for Otto Kahn. I think it was in 1923. And I found it on Henry Macau. And Otto Kahn was one of the partners in Kuhn Loeb, which also had Paul Warburg and Jacob Schiff as his other two partners. They're like the kings of the dark Zionist empire at that time. And this ambassador, Allaire, I think his name was, asked Otto Kahn to explain how the bankers could fund both communism and capitalism. And what Otto Kahn said is, look, we control both sides. The capitalist side is a creative side. The communist side is a destructive side. And we're in the middle. And we control both sides. And when I was reading it, it just hit me. This is kind of what Donald Trump is he's part of their whole deal, and it's been showing with the vaccines and him doing everything he did for Israel. Otto Kahn said, we are the fulcrum in the middle between these two sides, and we control both. So you can find it on Henry Macau if you
That's pretty consistent with Paul's view. We have another caller. I'd like to bring in Mona. Join the conversation. Mona. Join the conversation. Are you there? Paul, go ahead, Paul.
All right. I took it off mute. I'm on mute most of the time. You know, here's the other equation that the thing I would add is, you know, I don't really believe that a president can do the things that you're giving credit for or that you're demonizing for. So, for example, you talked about Donald Trump made us energy independent. I don't really believe that he could do that, just like I don't believe Joe Biden, who we both know is a fake and a phony, right? I mean, a guy wearing a rubber mask or somebody else, right? He doesn't have the power to shut down a pipeline. This is what is wanted by people at the top. So Mitchell's exactly correct with this corporate fascist, you know, dictatorship. And, you know, they're in control. Politicians, in my opinion, are mostly irrelevant unless they're a strong man. And we know what happens to strong men such as Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi and so on and so forth. So, but we need a strong man here. A strong man in another country will fail. The problem that Germany had is there were too many outside enemies such as England and the United States. But if we can do something like what Germany did here, right, then we could have the upper hand. But unfortunately, everybody here is bought and paid for. And to the extent that Trump is bought and paid for, I don't know. But what I do know is I've seen enough not to trust him. I do believe he's far preferable to any other politician. But what is it? Where does that get us? So he's preferable. So he connects to the American people. Well, so what? That's a so what, in my opinion.
Thanks, Paul. Mona, join the conversation.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say one thing. I agree with Paul 100%. And one other thing that people tend to forget is that the most murderous, oppressive regimes in history were democratically elected constitutional republics. And that includes the USSR, Red China, North Korea, and Nazi Germany. So the system.
So you think we're following suit?
Yes. Yeah.
Mitchell, your thoughts? Mitchell, can we salvage the United States, or is it lost forever?
Well, that's a damn good question. I believe if we get back to our constitutional roots, we can save the United States. But the mass psychosis of the gender bending liberal world order of idiocracy is well entrenched in the youth, and the youth are the future. And I believe that's the major problem.
The youth are the future, yes, yes. I certainly agree with that. Well, Mona, do you want to add a further thought, Mona?
No, that's all I wanted to say.
And Brian, are you still with us? Paul.
I'm here. I say, as I've said before, it's cosmic. This is the end of the cycle. They're going to be taken out. It's going to totally change. So who knows? Maybe Scott Bennett will be the next president.
There you go.
Nice. Yeah. Paul, go ahead, Paul.
I'm driving, Jim. I'm going to be on mute. I'll just listen back.
Okay. You did good. You did good. Mitchell, once again, then, where do we go from here, my friend?
Ooh, well, we have to call the political parties out for what they are. They're a centralized government ideology. You know, they were essentially the Federalists of before the Civil War, the Democrat-Republican Party. They were one in the same. They believed in the power of the central government. Well, however, the Democrats, you know, the big beef was, you know, they wanted to own people because of their economic system that was in place. And You know, they believe that, you know, all the plantations and all the South could never operate at all with, you know, without slaves, that it was essentially the end of their entire economy and their way of life. You know, like I say, you have to call these Democrats for what they are. You know, it's the Confederacy. You know, that's the party of the Confederacy. And whether Republicans today are afraid to say that, and, you know, this, because it's, I believe that's the perfect tactic. Just because of the psychological tie that the Democrats have made to slavery, and that the Democrats have made to the suppression of the Black community today, that it is all tied to slavery. And it's like, you know, tying everything back to the German, to the Nazi party, and have the, you know, and then today have the Nazi party essentially blaming somebody else. You know, there's such a mind twist there that it leaves, I believe it leaves these people vulnerable to suggestive ideas that, you know, that the fact is that they're still captured. They're still slaves of the Democrat Party, of the Democrats in general. They're not the physical embodiment of somebody being on a plantation, until you look at the inner cities and the cities and you understand that they are essentially welfare plantations.
I think the Black community is awakening to the realization that Democrats have done nothing for them whatsoever, and that they have merely been pawns in the political calculus. I don't see a future of the Black vote saving the Democrat Party, which is another reason they have to cheat. And God knows the Hispanic community has lost all faith in the Democrat Party. I don't see Hispanics having any enthusiasm whatsoever for the Democrats. And without the Hispanic and the Black vote, where do they go? I mean, it seems to me they're
mail in ballot stuffing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. They're up a creek without a paddle, basically, as I see it. Further comments, Paul? Oh, Paul's driving. I remember. Okay. And Brian, Mona, any further thoughts you care to add?
No, just that I just don't think the system will work. And I just don't think it's, I think if we try to repair it, we would get more of the same. We'd come to this point again, or it might be even worse in the future if we tried this system again. It's been tried in so many countries, and it's failed for the people. It's failed. So no, I don't have any faith in the system at all anymore.
So what's the answer? Is there no answer, Mona? What do we do?
I think living in a voluntary society, being responsible for yourself, taking ownership of yourself, and working together as a community in regards to crime. At real crime, I mean, where there's a victim, not the stupid laws that we have on the books now. It's ridiculous. And I can see now that the half of the laws that they put on the book, they did it to take away our guns. You know, if you have a felony, you can't have a gun. You know, it's ridiculous.
Hey, surprise, surprise, we got one more. Ken in Michigan, join the conversation. Ken, you're just in time.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Jim. Yeah, Trump is the great hope. I listen to him on the shorts. He loves the country. You know, he said he could just bow out and not do it, but he does love the country, and he's a patriot, and he is the hope. He knows the system. He's been on, you know, he was on Oprah saying that he was gonna, 30 years ago, saying he would run for the presidency if it was the right time, and this is the right time, and he is the man.
Well, I think you and I see potential there, but others are profoundly skeptical. We got one. I got an email here from a longtime listener that Trump's great except for mass murder vis-a-vis the vax program with J&J, Pfizer, Moderna. I would like for him to come out with a clear. Yeah, go ahead.
We've been vaccinated there. Yeah, when you join the army and the military, they vaccinate the hell out of you. So I mean, that's all part of this trust the science. If Trump told me to get the vaccine, I'm not going to get it. You know, because you look at Fauci, he's a clown. That guy's a rat. Tony, he can't. You know, once he threw out the first pitch on that All-Star game, you knew right away the guy was un-American.
Just the way he threw the ball? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he threw it like a little girl.
Okay, Ken, Paul, Mona, Brian, I thank you all for calling in. We've run our course today, and I obviously there are a lot of mixed opinions, but I'm very glad you're here. That's what it's all about. Meanwhile, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, and people you love, because alas, we do not know how much time we have left. We'll be back Wednesday on The Raw Deal right here on Revolution Radio.
Thanks, Jim.
My pleasure.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and